to Jan Kell Publishing's podcast, Bookmarked. My name is Janie Jesse, and thank you to all you listeners out there for tuning in. This week, we have a very special interview with one of our authors, with one of Jan Kell Publishing's authors, Freesia. And Allison had the delightful privilege of interviewing Freesia. But before we get to the interview, I want to remind the listeners out there about Voice Magazine for Women. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary this month, 20 years of publishing Voice Magazine for Women and bringing it into Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia. The magazine can be seen online in its full version, and we do ask that you follow us on our social media platforms. We are giving away some special gifts throughout the month, so you want to register. You might be a winner of one of those special prizes. And not only will we be celebrating throughout the month of February, we will be celebrating throughout the year. 20 years deserves a year-long celebration. So stay tuned for the giveaways, the activities, and some special events and some special things we'll have ongoing. But I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And this week is a very special interview. And we appreciate Freesia taking her time to do the interview with us. So, Allison, take it away.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bookmarked. Today, I'm very excited to get the opportunity to chat with author Freesia Collins about her book, Great Granny and Her Yucky Old Cat, which is a chapter book about a young girl named Molly and her great granny's cat. Freesia, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's quit raining. We've got beautiful sunshine and the weather's warming up. So I am doing well.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'd love to start out today by asking if you'd mind telling our listeners a bit about your book. Would you care to give a little synopsis of the story?
Well, having just completed my sequel, and honestly, I didn't think I would write again, but knowing where that one came from was over the loss of our mama. And I say our because there were six of us. And I guess it came from the grief. I went back through the recesses of my mind to find out, where did this book come from? So I was living in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My husband and I were doing fine in every way. Our marriage was fine. And we had what we called our little weekend daughter named Molly Robin, who would be with us Friday after school till Sunday after worship service, because we were helping out the grandparents who had lost their daughter to death, and they were raising these three grandchildren, and we were helping them out. And Greg and I were empty nesters, but my prodigal son had returned. He had been out there for 2.5 years in some very scary situations, and he had returned back home happy and healthy. And we took a trip out to Dallas, Georgia, basis for my books, to visit my mama out there in the country. And she truly did not. At that time, she had dial-up and whatever the big dish thing is. So technology was very limited. At that time, I could not even use my cell phone out there. So that's where the no technology came into play. And the chickens in the book, at that time, she had those chickens with all those names. And so after returning home from that trip, this book just flooded into my mind, and all the stories my mother-in-law, at that time I had been married to Craig for 27 years, just came to me, and it truly just flowed. And my sister-in-law, Carla, my husband's sister, said she doesn't recall being told any of these stories. Well, when her mother went to memory care in 2021, she found her writings and found these stories that I had banked into memory. So it was confirmation that these stories were true. And then I lost my husband for 40 years to death the day my first edition hit the market. Just unbelievable. And I really didn't even market that book. I just shared with my friends who had supported me from my first writing of the manuscript back in 2007. I had handed out so many. So I let them know it was going to come into print. And they were all excited. So I had that 150 sold. And it was such a gift at that time, just perfect, because my grown children had just lost their father totally unexpectedly. We made a beautiful trip out to Tennessee and picked up the books, and they helped me get them distributed and out. It was a sweet distraction at an extremely, extremely painful time. And then I went about my life for a year and a half and forgot my book. I totally forgot my little book. And it is just, it's a little storybook about this 10 little girl that's made to go stay with her great granny and she doesn't want to. And I think it truly just came out of the heart for grieving for Molly and her grandparents. And of course, my rejoicing over my son having been returned. And then, I know in a way it was a resurrection, I guess you could say. And he's gone on to do very well in life. You know, he's a fine young man. I'm very proud of him.
Wow. Well, I thank you for sharing all of that, Freesia. I love hearing about kind of the inspiration behind why authors write what they write. And it sounds like the inspiration for you for this first book and your sequel too, it sounds like, seems very personal. And I think it's always a great idea to draw upon personal experiences when writing a story. I think it makes the story feel very authentic and very real. And I have to ask, what about the yucky old cat in the story? Did you know a cat like this in real life?
It's funny. I was never a cat lover until I became a widow, and they really are true comfort. But yes, at the time that I was writing of the book, I was working in an office setting, and there really was this yucky old cat. He was, as the book says, he was hinted yellow, but maybe should it be white? And he had those oozy eyes because from allergies. And this story just unfolded and flooded out of me. And I probably wrote it in a month, just as my sequel I've just recently written. I have never experienced writer's block. If anything, I can't get it to paper quick enough. And I put a lot of emotion into my writing. I hear, I see, I smell, and I taste everything when I write. And I hope I invoke that into my writings. The latest one, I actually, because only in hindsight, after I completed it, it was due to the grieving of my mother that I had to step away sometimes and just cry. I couldn't even see for crying. But I have since learned the connection between grieving and creativity is the same part of the brain. And I think that is a lovely gift. So since learning that, I encourage people to, if you're grieving and lost someone, delve into your creative side. Well, some people say, well, I'm not creative. Well, everyone can write. As a matter of fact, when my son lost his father, he wrote a beautiful poem that was read over his memorial, because at that time we were in lockdown and had to be over Zoom. But he said it took him 3 days to write it, and he would have to step away from it and let those feelings out. So I encourage people, you know, to do that, because it has definitely helped with my healing process over the loss of my mom, our mama.
And what a gift that is.
It truly is a beautiful family love story.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing to be able to channel, I think, something so deeply sad into something creative, and in hopes to be able to inspire others with your words. And I definitely think that comes through in your work. And now, as you sort of previously touched on, I know a main theme in your first book is sort of returning to the days when technology wasn't such a large focus. I think most people today sort of rely on technology in many ways, and their phones and TV. But what I liked about your book is that your main character, Molly, is forced to experience life without those things for the duration of her stay with Great Granny. So I wanted to ask, how do you feel about technology today? And why was it important to you to sort of share this story of a more hands-on, technology-free approach to life?
I think maybe at that time I was struggling at how quickly technology was moving too fast for me. But it's very interesting with this one now, the sequel I've just completed, Molly is 13 going on to 14. Technology has moved ahead. The first setting of the book is like a 2009 setting. 2007, 2009. Now Molly is 13 going on 14. Technology has advanced. She goes back out to visit Great Granny. She now has internet. But now there's some lessons in there about phone in the face all the time sort of thing.
Right.
So, and even Gigi herself has to catch up in many ways.
So well, yes, absolutely. I definitely think that's such a valid and important story to tell, particularly in today's society. Now, your character of Molly learns all kinds of important lessons while she stays with Great Granny, not only about technology. So what were some of your favorite things Molly learned from Great Granny? And what were some of your favorite nostalgic type moments to write about?
The creek scenes were always beautiful. The best gift our parents, who were young parents, they were young parents raising these kids in the 70s. You know, you had the Vietnam War going on. You had a lot of things going on. And they were trying to do the best they can with a bunch of wild Indians, I guess you say. Best the gift they ever gave us was this 20 acres of land where we could run free. And I kind of say it, the creek that saved me. Because as all kids, sometimes you want to run away from home. Well, no, we could just escape to the country, to the land. So one of the favorite portions in the book is when, I'm not going to tell you, Gigi, I don't want to give away too much for those that haven't read it. Gigi teaches her how to float. I remember our mother teaching us how to do that. She taught us how to float before we learned how to swim, because if you fall out of a boat, and Daddy did have a boat, you could always float, you know, if you can't swim. So that's one of my favorite parts. And of course, the fishing and the hoarding, riding up the horse. And like I said, I don't want to give away too much of it. There's one part in there where Gigi and Molly have a good laugh together on the ground. If you recall that part.
Yes. Yeah, there are so many great moments in your book that just really kind of harken back to old times. And I think a lot of people who read your book feel that. So how has the reception kind of been of Great Granny and her yucky old cat over the past couple of years? Do you get a lot of people telling you they love it or that they connected to the nostalgia of it in some way?
Well, that's the interesting thing about I kind of resurrected my book, because I totally and completely forgot about my book after that 150 books initially went out. I forgot about it. I was going through the grieving process. I dealt with my husband's loss. My son and I were together a lot because he was single. And our outlet for that was, now the world was starting to open up. It was March of 2021, April. And we were out in nature. And that's how I dealt with my grieving, with the loss of my husband. For a year and a half, I completely forgot about my book. And then I started dating a man in September of 2022. And he said, "I Googled you. You wrote a book." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I did." And of course, then I still didn't think much of it. We got engaged a month later, very quickly. And then, so then I'm planning a wedding. And then Christmas Day of 2022, I had a massive stroke. And he actually found me laying in my front yard. He was plotted to come slip in, let my dogs out. It was 19 degrees. He was going to slip in, let them out, and go home. We did not live together. And he got me help and time. And I actually said, "John, this isn't a done deal." 3 days in the hospital.
Oh,
and
wow.
He said, if I have to push you in a wheelbarrow, we're getting married.
That's
and we
so
did.
Sweet.
And we did February the 4th. We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary. 8 days later, my mama died. So here I'm trying to heal from a stroke, a new relationship, and then our mama dies. And as we're looking for pictures for her memorial, all these pictures surface that should have been in my first edition book. And I'm like, I've got to do a second edition. And of course, about the author change, and I had to add my new last name.
Yes.
It's the same story. And all these beautiful pictures, it really makes it more of a family memento now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do write for my family, but if others enjoy it, that's more the beauty of it. And I do get a lot of feedback, because it takes people back to their grandparents' time. Or I have one friend, she's not a grandma, or she was not able to be with a grandma, but it helped her reminisce on what it could have been like. And she wants to be that kind of grandma, because I think she's got like 5 grandchildren. So It helps people draw on their memories. And I've learned, too, you open that floodgate of memories and they'll come. Got to be careful depending on what kind of childhood you had. But for me, all my beautiful memories started flooding back. So the reason the sequel only came about is because just this past November, my teen years started flooding in cinematic color in my brain. And I told John, I've got to get it out. I've got to write. Or I literally felt like I was going to go insane. And now Mind you, I thought it was due to the stroke that all this stuff was rattling about in here.
Right.
And so I was praying, do I keep writing? And here was the censure for me. My sister-in-law goes into her mother's computer from 2009. Who still has their computer from 2009? And finds emails I never received dated March 2009. And they were more stories that never went into my first edition. I mean, that was to me an answer to say, it's okay, dear daughter, keep writing.
Yes.
And so it just unfolded in a month's time. My story came about, and it is truly a beautiful, beautiful family love story. And this one, there are four generations, not just Gigi and Molly, four generations. I introduce more characters. And it's just so interesting when you're writing how these personalities of people in your life, they just kind of all blend together. And I truly am every one of those characters. I was Molly. I'm Gigi. I'm Nana Lou. That's a new character. I'm Anna. I'm all of the main female characters in this book.
Wow. And well, certainly, I cannot wait to read it. I think, so is this a direct sequel then to Great Granny and Her Yucky Old Cat?
It is, because she's 13 going on 14. And I delve into those very delicate areas that a lot of people don't touch on. Someone told me recently that it reminded her somewhat of Judy Blume's writings, though I never read hers. You know, those little, you know, hormonal changes going through puberty when a child needs guidance and direction. And it delves on those subjects in a very delicate, delicate, loving manner.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to read it. I think a lot of other people are going to be so excited to read it as well. And as I said, I think creativity is such a blessing, and it's so helpful to be able to channel your feelings and experiences into a piece of writing. Was it exciting to be writing for these characters again? Did it feel like returning to old friends?
It did. And there's some beautiful, there's a fashion show in there. And everyone who personally knows me knows I'm very charismatic. My daughter, everyone who knows, we are two peas in a pod. We're very charismatic. And when I wrote this one, there's a lot of music in it. Unfortunately, I could not put the lyrics. I cleared that with Janie, but I was able to put the song titles. And I actually recommend, when you're reading my book, you know, at your fingertips now is this right here. You can play those songs and it will put you into that. And that just helped with my writing too, helped me to express myself and put me there.
Wow.
Like I said, I evoke all those emotions and feelings.
Well, that's so special. And I think your voice and your point of view really shines through in your writing. And it's incredible to read something like that. And now I do have to ask you, because I always like to ask our authors what they're reading right now. So is there anything that maybe you've read recently, or just an all-time favorite book that you'd recommend to people?
Oh, now I am Southern, so these are all mostly going to be Southern. I do love historical fictions. One of my absolute favorite is Invention of Wings by Soon Mok Kid. Has nothing to do with airplanes or flying. But it is a historical fiction about Charleston, part of Charleston fiction, a factuality I did not know about. By the way, my husband likes to joke, I'm factual fiction.
I love that, so, factual fiction.
Factual fiction. And another one I really loved, and I don't think this is historical fiction, but is, of course, Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh, I love that one.
And the movie for that one was pretty spot on with the book, but a book, as always, is better.
Yes, I agree. The movie was pretty good, though. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, nothing will replace the book. I think I read that book in, you know, 24 hours or something. I just really plowed through it. I couldn't put it down.
Well, that's a thick one. And a couple of other writers. My favorite is Christine Hanna. She writes some historical fictions. Also, Jodi Picoult. Fanny Flagg. I finished one of hers recently. And for good laughs, I like Irma Bombat. So
yes.
Those are some of my favorites. Of course, the list could go on and on. I have never, ever had an official formal writing course ever. As a matter of fact, I hated doing book reports. Sorry, teacher. and I, to this day, cannot do an outline. My friend who was tweaking me along the way, she's like, Frisha, you got to do an outline, you know, to keep your thoughts in. Now, realize, too, I was recovering from a stroke. The fact that I was even able to write a sequel is a gift in itself. And with each chapter, you could see my sentence structure was getting better and better and better. So it was very therapeutic, not only for the grieving process, but for the healing process of the brain from my stroke.
Wow.
Truly a gift.
And that's amazing.
All credit goes to my Heavenly Father because He gives us these gifts.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing your story with everyone, Freesia. I think it's really important to talk about that. And I think it'll really inspire a lot of people. And I will definitely check out all of those books and all those authors you mentioned. I'm always adding to my list of books to read. So thank you for sharing those as well. And thank you so much for joining me today for this interview. I love getting to chat with our authors on this podcast and hearing about the story behind the story, so to speak. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Allison. I think it's a privilege. Thank you so very much.
And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bookmarked. We upload new content every single Friday. And if you'd like to check out Freesia's book for yourself, which I highly recommend doing, I will also be attaching the link for purchasing her book in the description for this episode. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next time.
Wow. Thank you so much, Allison. And Freesia, thank you. You are such a special person. You're honest, you're genuine, and we just love you. And we're also very happy with your book, and we are looking forward to publishing your second book, which will be out later this year. So we understand, too, Freesia's going to be doing some book signings, so you want to follow her on her website. And we're just so excited that we can claim Freesia as a JanCare Publishing author. So thank you. Thank you for tuning in this week, and we certainly hope to see you next week.